Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top of Daf Chof Aleph. Levi Ikla Lebovel. Levi arrived in Bovel Bechatzar Betishrei on the 11th of Tishrei. Omar, and he said to the people there, Bosim tavshila de bavloi biyoima rabo de ma'arova. Is the food of the Babylonians pleasant? Bosim means pleasant tasting, that you are eating today on Yom Rabba's Yom Kippur that was declared in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, in Bovel, they, according to their counting, they thought they had been on the 11th of Tishrei, the day after Yom Kippur. Little did they know that in Eretz Yisrael, they had extended the month of Elul by a day. Instead of Rosh Hashanah coming out on what they thought was the 30th of Elul, making it day one, in fact, Rosh Hashanah came out on the 31st of Elul, making the 31st day one. Everything then pushed a day ahead, and what they thought was the 11th of Tishrei was really the 10th of Tishrei. Amri Lei, so they asked him, they were of course shocked to hear that they were eating on Yom Kippur, so they asked him, Asid, would you testify to what you are saying? And then we'll accept that and not eat. Amar Lahu, so Levi said to them, Lo shomati mipi beisdin mekudosh. I didn't hear with my own ears the announcement of beisdin that the new month had been sanctified. So I can't testify. And hence they didn't rely on what he said. Machriz Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan announced, Kol hecha de motu shluchei nisan, velo motu shluchei tishrei. Any location, place in the, say in the diaspora, when the messengers, the shluchim, that travel from Yerushalayim to announce the new month when it was declared in Yerushalayim, so they travel out, and they travel until Pesach, so that they can inform people when Pesach actually takes place. The need for traveling is also with regard to the celebration of Sukkot, which is in the middle of Tishrei. So, because the distance they can cover in Nisan is greater than the distance they can cover in Tishrei. And why is that? Because after the new month is declared, they have Yom Kippur, an additional day they cannot travel on, in addition to the Shabbos, the intervening Shabbos. So the amount of distance that they can cover in announcing Tishrei to the outlying areas is and reach them by Sukkot, which is the 15th of Tishrei, is less an area that they can than they can cover when leaving Yerushalayim at the beginning of Nisan to announce when Nisan was established. So any location that the Shluchei Nisan could reach, but it's a distance that's too far for the Shluchei Tishrei to have reached, So such places, le'evdu trei yoimi, they have to celebrate 2 days of Pesach, gezeira nisan otu tishrei. That is a ruling so as not to confuse Nisan with Tishrei. In other words, you live at a location out there, far from Yerushalayim, that the messengers announcing the new month could have reached by Pesach, but you're too far away for messengers who would leave in the month of at the beginning of month of Tishrei to reach in order to announce when Rosh Chodesh was for the celebration of Sukkot. So being that you're in such a location that you would not get the Sukkot information, even though you did get the required information for Pesach, we nevertheless want you to observe 2 days of Pesach in anticipation of your need to observe 2 days of Sukkot. Now, maybe we shouldn't make the assumption, but when we speak about observing 2 days, that is always a function of not knowing how long the previous month was. Was the previous month a 29-day month, or was it a 30-day month? And with that element of doubt in mind, so when am I to celebrate Sukkot? Is it what I think is the 15th, but maybe it's not. Maybe the previous month was extended by a day, so that now is only the 14th, and tomorrow is the 15th. So according to my counting, having assumed that the previous month was a 29-day month, when I get to my day 15, I have to observe that as a holiday, and the next day as well, because what I think is the 16th might be the 15th. So if you live at a location that the Nisan messengers could have reached, but the Tishrei messengers could not have reached, so even though you know accurately when Pesach falls out, you still have to observe 2 days of Pesach, because we want to make sure that you'll observe 2 days of Sukkot. In the case of Sukkot, you will, being that you live so far out, the Sukkot, or the Tishrei announcers would not have been able to reach you. That's what we mean, that's what the Gemara means when it says, Gzeiro Nisan Otu Tishrei, observe 2 days of Pesach, and not just 1 day, because if you observe, end up observing 1 day of Pesach, you might come to observe only 1 day of Sukkot. But in the case of Sukkot, you won't be sure when Sukkot actually is to be celebrated, because you don't know when they established Tishrei. Was Elul a 29-day month or a 30-day month? As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking. We call this the volcano, a trapezoid, and on the side of the Gemara you can see we have a nosei, mivneh, topic heading, and structural note combined into one. Maisim u'meimros, these are, we'll see some incidents and comments, hakshurim li'ibur chodesh v'ibur shana u'kvias tarich ha'pirias halavana. In general, we can say these are different points regarding matters that are calendar related. So we'll see incidents that are related to the extension of a month, the extension of a year, and establishing a month based on the sighting of the new lunar phase. So separate pieces of Gemara that constitute the balance of this omid. Rabbi Ivoi bar Nagriv, Rabbi Chia bar Abba. This is a Maisa. You can see we have a long marking. So these two Rabbonon, Rabbi Ivo and Rabbi Chia, Iklu Lahu Asra, they arrived at a place to have a Motu Shluchei Nisan Volo Motu Shluchei Tishrei. It's one of those places that we just finished describing that the messengers announcing Nisan could arrive at, but it's too far for Tishrei messengers to reach. As we said before, they only have, until Sukkot, they have 2 weeks minus the Shabbat, the interim Shabbosim and the Yom Kippur that they can't travel on. So they reached such a place, V'avdi chad yoima, and they celebrated one day of Pesach. V'lo omru lehu v'lo midi. And Reb Ivo and Reb Chia didn't make any comment. Shoma Reb Yochanan v'ikpid. Reb Yochanan heard about this, about their remaining silent, and he was upset. Ikpid, Reb Yochanan was upset. Omar lehu, and he said to them, Lav amri lehu, did I not tell you before? Hecha de motu shluchei nisan v'lo motu shluchei tishrei. A place that is that far out that only Nisan messengers would arrive, but Tishrei messengers would not. Levdu Trei Yoimi. They're supposed to observe 2 days of Pesach. Gzeira Nisan Otu Tishrei. Because of what we said before, the observance of Pesach has to be in a similar way to the way they would need to observe Sukkot, namely 2 days, because in the case of Sukkot, they're too far away. They will not know definitively when Tishrei was established. Rava have a rogil davi Yosef betanisa tre yoimi. Rava adopted the practice of observing 2 days of Yom Kippur. So a long fast. Zimno chado ishtakach kavosei, and one time it actually came out like he practiced. Namely, he observed 2 days of Yom Kippur in general because he wasn't sure whether Elul that preceded Tishrei was a 29-day month. And then, according to his counting, the starting from the next day, day 30, he counts that as one. The 10th then would be Yom Kippur, or maybe the next day is Yom Kippur, because Elul was not a 29-day month, but it was rather a 30-day month, thereby starting the Tishrei counting a day later. Yom Kippur then falling out a day later on day 11 of his original counting. Well, once it turned out that in fact they had extended Elul by 1 day, showing that the second day of his Yom Kippur observance was the real Yom Kippur. Rav Nachman Yosef Betanisa Kuli Yoima de Kippuri. Rav Nachman observed a regular full day of Yom Kippur. L'urta, in the evening, when at the Motso Yom Kippur, also Gavra, a man came, Omale, and the man says, L'mocher Yoima Rabo b'marova. Tomorrow, meaning from this point on, the next day is Yom Kippur in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, what the man was saying was that they had extended Elul by a day, so that instead of what you thought was day 10 of Tishrei, really was day 9, and tomorrow is Yom Kippur. Amalei mehecho at. Rav Nachman, hearing this, I'll say, disturbing piece of news, he says, where are you from? Amarle, so the man says, me Damharya. I'm from a place called Damharya. Amarle, so Rav Nachman said back to this man, a little play on the name, he said, Dam Tehei Achriso. Basically a curse. A self-inflicted curse, if you will. Rashi says, "Dante achriso hareini meis al yodcha." I'm going to die because of you. Shetaski keni lehisanois shnei yomim ushnei lelos. You're causing me to now have to observe 2 full days of fasting. And Rashi points out, "Dante achriso" is a notrikon, is an abbreviation. Shel damharya. We continue in the Gemara. Kori Ale, and Rav Nachman referred to this situation. Kalim Hoyu Rodfenu. Those who were in pursuit of us were able to pursue us swiftly. In other words, he felt that he fell victim to some injurious information and hence referred to himself this pasuk. Shalach le Rav Huna bar Ovin l'Rava. Rav Huna sent to Rava, Kad chazis demashcha tkufas teves ad shisar benison. This section of Gemara deals with the issue of extending a year, as opposed to what we've been dealing with till now, extension of months. Here we're going to deal with the adding of an Adar. So Rav Huna says to Rava, when you notice, Kad chazis, when you see, when you notice, the Moshcha Tkufas Teves. Tkufas Teves, in simple terms, is winter. Called the winter season. If you see that the winter season, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin has signs of what constitutes the winter season. Different natural phenomena that characterize Tkufas Teves. So if you notice that the winter season is extending, is Ad Shitzar B'Nisan, is going to continue till the 16th of Nisan. In other words, the solar season of spring, we call Tkufas Oviv, won't kick in until the month of Nisan is more than half over. Ovra Le'ahi Shasa, then it's necessary to delay the lunar month of Nisan by adding a month, adding another Adar. V'lo techushlo, and don't concern yourself or worry about doing this, claiming that this would be the approach of a Shitas Yochid. The Rashi gives a great deal more background to this piece of Gemara, and especially if you learned Masechah Sanhedrin, you can appreciate this all the more, but we're going to be rather abbreviated right now. And Rav Huna was telling Rava that you'll have to extend the year by adding an Ador if this phenomenon is taking place. And don't think, don't worry and claim that it's the opinion of a minority opinion. Dichtiv, because there's a pasuk supporting this approach. The pasuk says, Shmor es chodesh ha'aviv. That's the pasuk from the Torah. And we darshan shmor aviv shel tkufa. That means that you have to make sure that the spring season kicks in, starts shehe b'chodesh Nisan at a point that the lunar month of Nisan is still in its first half. That means that if you see that the spring season is going to take place, is going to fall out by the 14th of Nisan, so then you would be able to leave things as they are. However, if you see that the winter season is extending, it's what we'll call it a long winter, and it's extending into the lunar month of Nisan, we say that cannot be, that's not acceptable. Based on this pasuk, and Rashi elaborates, you have to make sure that when the spring season kicks in, it does so before half of Nisan goes by. So, of course, by extending the year, by adding an Ador, you know what's going to happen. The winter season will finish quite a bit before Nisan. It will finish in the second Ador, and the spring season will be upon us at that point. And then you'll be ushering in the lunar month of Nisan. But what we've accomplished is that we have the spring season already upon us at the first half of the month of Nisan. Omar Luhu Rav Nachman Lano Nechusi Yoma. Rav Nachman, and here we go back to issues of month and dating of months. Rav Nachman says to the Nechusi Yoma are sailors. They sail in the high seas. Atun delo yadisu bekviya diyarcha. You don't have any way of getting information of when the lunar month was established. You don't know when Rosh Chodesh took place. And many times they're at high season, they have to celebrate Pesach on the high seas. So he tells them, ki chazisu siara demashlim leyuma. When you notice that the siara is the moon, that the moon continues through the night till sunrise. In other words, a type of changing of the guard where the moon shines through the night and it shines till sunrise. Bairu chamira. Then you know to destroy any chometz that you might have. The Gemara asks, Emas mashlim b'cha. When does that phenomenon take place of the moon shining till the netzach hametzel sunrise? B'chamesar. That takes place on the 15th of the month, mid-month. V'ho'anan me arbesar mevarinon, but we have to destroy the chometz even before that, on the 14th of Nisan. So what kind of advice is Rav Nachman giving the sailors? The Gemara answers, Lididhu, demaglu luhu alma, to them, the sailors, that the skies are very clear, me abesar mashlim, they will notice that the moon continues shining till sunrise. That phenomenon will take place by the 14th of the month. So for them, they will be on target. They'll see the moon setting upon sunrise. They will know that it's the 14th of the month. And of course, 14th of Nisan is the time for getting rid of, destroying your chometz. We continue at the top of Amud Beis, the Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we will glance at the side of the Gemara. We have a topic heading. Edim Shiro es Hamoilud Shel Nisan V'Tishrei, the witnesses that witnessed the new lunar phase, the Molad HaLavona, ushering in the months of Nisan and Tishrei. Mechalin es HaShabbos Kidei Lahagia LeBeis Din Lahoid. The Mishnah teaches us that they have a right to violate Shabbos to get from wherever they sighted the moon to get to Beis Din. Oftentimes we speak about the witnesses needing to violate the Din of Tchum Shabbos, traveling more than 2,000 amas from where they were. But there are more examples of Chul Shabbos that we allow with regard to these witnesses. The Mishnah, Al Shnei Chadoshim Mechalin Es HaShabbos, concerning 2 months, the witnesses that saw the new lunar phase, of course we're talking about a situation where they noticed the Molad, and Shabbos is day 30, and with their coming to Beis Din, that day 30 will turn into day 1 of the new month. So regarding 2 months, we allow this to happen. Al Nisan v'al Tishrei, on the months of ushering in Nisan and ushering in Tishrei, Shebohen Shluchim Yotzim L'Surya. Concerning the months of Nisan and Tishrei, the messengers are sent out to inform the diaspora of the new month having been established. Uvohen Misaknin Es HaMoyadis. Regarding those months, specifically Nisan and Tishrei, those are months in which the holidays take place. Pesach in Nisan and Sukkot in Tishrei. Rashi, on the second line from the top, says, Shevoem Shluchin, Beis Din, Shochim, L'Suria, L'Odia, L'Goyla, Yoim Kviyosam. Beis Din, the court sends messengers to Suria. Suria is a country outside of Eretz Yisrael, to inform the Jews in the diaspora the day on which Rosh Chodesh was established. Hilcha Chashivi. They are therefore important. Umenat Torah, Mechalan al Kulan, regarding from the Torah perspective, witnesses could violate Shabbos. The moon sighting witnesses can violate Shabbos for all the months. Aval Rabbanan Osru, Lefish Ein Tikkun HaMo'edus Toli Behem. The holidays aren't dependent on the other months. V'lo Ichbas L'Malon L'Chasun Al Pi Edim. And it doesn't bother us so much to have the months either full or missing through the witnesses coming to testify about that. However, these 2 months, Nisan and Tishrei, since the holidays are dependent on when Rosh Chodesh was established, so they revert back to the Torah law, which says that witnesses who cite the new moon can violate Shabbos in order to testify on time about that. The Mishnah continues, Ukshahoya Beis HaMikdash Kayam, when the Beis HaMikdash was extant, Mechalin Af Al Kulam, Mipnei Takonas Al Korban. The witnesses who cite the new moon would violate Shabbos for every Rosh Chodesh in order to have the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, the special Rosh Chodesh sacrifice, offered at its proper time. So if they saw the new lunar phase on day 30, they would come from wherever they are, even if that happens to be a Shabbos, and that involves Shabbos violation, in order for the court to establish on day 30, during the daytime, they announce that it is now Rosh Chodesh. And that having been accomplished, so the Rosh Chodesh sacrifices will be offered on the proper day. The Gemara asks, regarding the emissaries, the agents that are sent out to inform the diaspora. In our Mishnah, it said regarding Nisan and Tishrei, so shluchim are sent out. So the Gemara asks, "Al shnei chadoshim besulo, regarding 2 months and not any others?" For Rominu, we raise a contradiction from a Mishnah that we've learned earlier. Al shishu chadoshim hashluchim yotzim, regarding 6 months, the shluchim are sent out, and that we have learned back on Daf Yud Ches. Omar Abaye, Hochi ko Omar. Thusly, we are to understand the sources. Al kulon shluchin yotzim mibo erev. If you have a situation, for example, Rashi gives 2 examples, but if you have a situation, for example, where the lunar phase, the new moon, was clearly visible to everybody on the 29th or the night of the 30th, it's obvious then that Beis Din will declare the new month by morning, by the next day, by the morning of this night, following this night. If that's the case, that you had a very clearly visible new phase, the shluchim can go out immediately that evening, even without waiting till the morning to hear the Beis Din make their formal announcement. Al Nisan v'al Tishrei, with regard to Nisan and Tishrei, however, ad shiyishmu mipi Beis Din Mekudosh, the emissaries will not go out until they hear a formal Beis Din announcement, Mekudosh, it's sanctified, that the new month is officially sanctified by the court. So that's what our Mishnah was referring to when it emphasized the emissaries being sent out for Nisan and Tishrei. Not to the exclusion of sending out emissaries announcing the new month to the exclusion of other months, but rather with regard to Nisan and Tishrei, they have to wait till the morning to hear the court announce Mekudosh. Tonu Rabbona. Minayin shemchalin aleyin es haShabbos. From where do we know that Chilul Shabbos can be done, one can violate Shabbos for the purpose of establishing a new month, for the witnesses to come to testify and thereby establish the new month. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Eile Moyadei Hashem Asher Tikru'u Oysom B'Moyadom. These are the holidays of Hashem that you shall declare at their time. Rashi says, three lines under the Gemara text, bottom part of the page, three lines under the Gemara text, Asher Tikru'u Oysom B'Moyadom, His Hiram, the Torah warns, Shelo Yavor HaMoyed Shelzman Kriyoson Mikro Kodesh, Dainu Kiddush Beis Din, that the holiday should not pass the time that was established by the court's sanctification. So that we go all out, so to speak, to make sure that if the new moon was sighted on time, meaning on day 30, that the witnesses shall violate Shabbos to establish, to enable the new month to be established. Yochol kishem shemecham ad shiyiskachu, kach mechalulin ad shiyiskaimu? Should we think that just like we allow witnesses to violate in order to establish or to sanctify the new month, that's yiskachu, so too we allow emissaries and agents to go out until all outlying areas know the time for the holidays to be observed? Talmud Loimar, that far we don't go. Asher tikru'u oysom. That's what the Pasuk said. Al kriosom ata mechalel, on the initial declaration, we allow chilol, the kriosom on the proclamation, the proclaiming of the new month, we allow violation of Shabbos, viato mechalel al kiyumon. But we don't allow the violation of Shabbos regarding the fulfillment of the holidays. Hence, we don't allow the shluchim, the agents that go out to announce when Rosh Chodesh took place, to violate Shabbos for that purpose. The Gemara continues, that being a quote from the Mishnah, before the temple was destroyed during the time of Beis HaMikdash, so witnesses coming to testify about the sighting of the new lunar phase to establish a new month, they would violate Shabbos in order to get to the court concerning every single month, if necessary. Mishechorav Beis HaMikdash. By the way, maybe I'll just go over that, which is probably obvious. When we speak about violating Shabbos, we're talking about a scenario where day 30 of the previous month falls out on a Shabbos. And if on that day 30 there's a sighting of the new lunar phase, it will require, if the witnesses are far away from the court, it'll require their violating Shabbos in order to get to the court on time, on that day 30, for the announcement to take place concerning the Rosh Chodesh Bismano at its accepted time, at its formal time. Mishechorav Beis HaMikdash, Omelen Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, after the temple destruction, the Churban HaBayis, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was a survivor of that event, that period, he said, V'chiyesh korban, is there any more sacrifices? Hiskinu shelo yimchalin elo al nisan v'al tishrei bilvad. So they established that the heter, the allowance to violate Shabbos for this purpose, will apply only to the months of Nisan and Tishrei. All the rest, the Rabbonin imposed a restriction not to violate Shabbos. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at the side with a topic heading, the Nosei, under which we've written Machloikis Tanoim. We'll see a Tanaic controversy. Haim Ho'edim Michalin Shabbos Al Yoreach Shinira Be'olil Megula Le'ein Koil. We alluded to this just before. If you have a situation where you're at the end of a month, you've counted 29 days, and now you're entering day 30, and that night the moon is very clearly visible. It's a very clear night, very bright. It's called Olil. Nira be'Olil is the expression you'll see in the Mishnah. And it, of course, is a Shabbos. We're talking about day 29 was Friday, and now day 30, which potentially could become day 1, is a Shabbos. So the issue right now is, well, if it's so clearly visible, it's likely then the people that were near where the court was saw the new phase as well. So why should witnesses who come from a distance be allowed to violate Shabbos under such circumstances? Well, let's see. Bein shenira be'olil, the Mishnah says, bein shelo nira be'olil, mechalin olav es haShabbos. Whether the moon was very clearly visible to all, and if it's not visible to all, we allow chilul Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Im nira be'olil, ein mechalin olav es haShabbos. If it's very exposed and clear to all, then we don't allow witnesses who see it from a distance from the court to come to the court through Shabbos violation. Maisa she'ovru yoiser me'arboim zug ve'ikvam Rabbi Akiva balud. There was an incident where more than 40 pairs of witnesses had seen the moon in this situation of it being near Ba'aliel, and Rabbi Akiva delayed them. He kept them in Lud. Lud is a community, is a city outside of Yerushalayim. It's basically a day's journey from Yerushalayim, and he kept them there, not allowing them to go all the way to the court. Shalach lo Rabbi Gamliel. Gamliel sent to Rabbi Akiva a message. Ima'akev ato esarabim. If you withhold the masses of witnesses, then in the future they are not going to come when they really are necessary. My mashma dahai oliel lishna demigli hu. Where do we see the word oliel means something that's very exposed, highly visible and exposed? As we saw in the Mishnah, we referred to the moon that was very clearly visible and highly exposed to the public. Omar Rabbi Yavo, Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, Imarois Hashem Amorois Tahirois Kesef Tsaruf Be'alil La'aretz. Without literally translating the Pasuk, without translating the Pasuk literally, we see a reference to the mitzvahs Hashem as being pure, like refined silver. And in the process of refining silver, so silver is exposed to a fire, and in this case we're talking about a fire that's built on the ground, on exposed ground. That's be'olil la'aretz. So the word olil in this context, in this pasuk, means something exposed. The very same pasuk continues. Two more words to the pasuk: mezukok shivasayim. Regarding this phrase, mezukok shivasayim, the Gemara continues with a drasha. Now we should note that the word shivasayim, if in effect, is 7 times 7, which it's a reference to 49. In the context of the pasuk itself, it would mean the kesef, silver, that's been refined, let's say, 49 times. But we continue with a discussion where we also feature a new marking. The diamonds appear here and on the side of the Gemara. They highlight shnei deos beinyan chochmas shloimeh melech biyachas lemoshe rabbeinu. We'll see two opinions regarding the wisdom, the brilliance, the knowledge of King Solomon, who was known as a very wise man, his level of chokhmah as compared to Moshe Rabbeinu. we continue now in the Gemara. Rav Ushmuel, Chad Omar. One says as follows. Nun Sharei Bina Nivrubolam. Nun is 50. 50 gates of understanding were created. V'kula nitnu l'moyshe choser echad. All 50 minus 1, 49, were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu had achieved a very, very high level of knowledge. Shenemar, there is a posuk, and Rashi makes reference to this posuk as being in the Mizmor of Mo Enosh Kisis Kareno, a posuk that describes man, and it says in that posuk, Vatachsereu Ma'at Melekim, and he was made to be less, but like just a bit less than the Almighty. Well, of course, that's a literal translation of the pasuk. But what we should gain from that, one has to realize, of course, when we don't compare anything to the Almighty. The Almighty is infinite. Man and the rest of creation is finite. But the purpose of this drush is to express the loftiness of man, that man, in this case the pasuk is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, reached very great heights. Bikesh Koheles Limtzoi Divrei Chefetz. That's a pasuk in Megillas Koheles, which was authored by Shlomo HaMelech, and Shlomo HaMelech is known as Koheles. Bikesh Koheles Lios Kemoshe. This pasuk that says Bikesh Koheles Limtzoi Divrei Chefetz means that he wanted to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Yotza Basko V'Omroloi, a heavenly voice came out and said, and this is the continuation of the pasuk of Bikesh Koheles, V'Chosuv Yosher Divrei Emes. The Torah is a book of truth, and in the Torah it says, "V'lo kom novi oid b'Yisrael kamoshe," that no one else shall arise and be like Moshe. So your request can't be honored. You want to be like something that the Torah says you can't be like. So the first approach that we introduce with the diamond says that Shlomo did not reach the heights of Moshe Rabbeinu in his wisdom. V'chad Omar, a second approach. Looking at the pasuk we just cited, V'lo kom novi oy b'Yisrael k'moshe, he looks at the pasuk and makes an inference from it. B'nevi'im lo kom, b'melochim kom. Amongst other prophets, there was no prophet that rose to the heights of Moshe Rabbeinu, but amongst kings, there was Shlomo HaMelech. So he did achieve the wisdom level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Elomani mekayim bikesh koheles limtzoi divrei chefetz. So then, what is the pasuk according to this opinion going to mean? Before, when we saw this, we saw it as a reference to something that he strove for and could not reach. So what does it mean in this context? The Gemara explains. Bikesh koheles lodun dinin shebelev, shelo be'ediv, shelo basro. He wanted to be able to judge legally without witnesses and without the defendant receiving formal warning. In other words, he wanted to judge based on his internal feelings, dinim shebelev, the way he thought and perceived the case to go, thereby foregoing the need of witnesses and warnings. Well, sorry. Yotza basko v'yomrolo, the heavenly voice came forth and said, and again, this is a quote from the end of that very same pasuk of Bikesh Koheles Limtzoi Divrei Chefetz. The end says, V'chosuv Yosher Divrei Emes Al Pi Shnayim Edim V'chulei. The Torah is a book of truth, and in the Torah it says that judgment cannot take place other than through the testimony of two witnesses. Before we conclude, let us just continue to the top of Chof Beis Amud Aleph till the next Mishnah. Maisa she'avru yoiser me'arboyim zug v'ikvon Rabbi Akiva v'chulei. We saw in the Mishnah regarding a case where the moon was clearly visible, and the Mishnah told us that Rabbi Akiva withheld the witnesses at Lud, not allowing them to continue and violate Shabbos in order to reach the court, because the court would know about the new lunar phase because of its being nire be'olil. Tanya. And now the Gemara gives us a brisa with a different version of names as far as that event. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, chas v'sholom Rabbi Akiva ikvan. Heaven forbid that Rabbi Akiva was the one who withheld them. It seems that Rabbi Yehuda is totally accepting of what Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah had said, that it would be a very bad decision to withhold witnesses, because if you do that, then you're going to take out any incentive of witnesses coming to the court in the future, and that at times that it really is necessary for them to show up. So Rabbi Yehuda says it couldn't have been Rabbi Akiva that withheld them. Elo Shazfor. It's a name of a person. Shazfor Roisha Shel Goder. Ikvon. Goder is the name of a place. So that we'll call him the mayor of Goder. He is the one that Ikvon that withheld them. V'sholach Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel sent a message v'horidu migduloso, and he had him deposed from his position. Before we conclude today's shiur, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially with regard to accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.